My intent is to try again. All right. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on the subject of making it right with God. And no, I don't know whether you're right with God or not. I wouldn't even take a guess, because sometimes I think I'm right, really right with God, and I get to studying and get confronted, and the next thing you know, I find out I'm not as right as I thought I would be. But we need to know how to make it right with God, and in this message, hopefully, it will cause us to consider whether or not we are truly right with God in His eyes, or we're right with God in our own eyes. So 1 Kings 11 and verse 38 is where we want to start. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 38. 1 Kings 11 and 38, the Bible says, "And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my judgments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee." Then in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, or verse 19 rather, Acts chapter 4 and verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." That David had done that which was right, and now the new king was promised the blessings of God if he would do likewise. Peter thought it was only right in the sight of God to obey God, even to the endangerment of his own life. Right is reconciliation, righting a wrong. It's okay. Right is okay. We're okay where? In our own eyes? No, we're okay in the eyes of God. How do we know whether we're okay or not in the eyes of God? By the Word of God. He doesn't leave us ignorant. And if we go into God's Word and we're honest, God will reveal to us, and we'll understand through the Scripture whether or not we are truly right with Him or we're not. If we wrong a neighbor, we'll have to make it right before fellowship can be restored. Have we done anything against God that will hinder our fellowship with Him? If so, then we better make it right with Him. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, Jesus instructed here, Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. The Bible says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." And so, have you done anything against God that will hinder your fellowship with Him or your close walk with Him? If we have, and by the way, God's a person, has feelings. How do we know? We're made in the image and likeness of God. And how we're affected, God is affected, because He has feelings. He has a passionate love. He has a desire for fellowship with those that He created in His image and in His likeness. And so We need to strive to make things right with him and to keep things right with him. And the only way that we can do it is when we discover we're not right with God, when we understand that we've offended a brother or offended someone, that we're willing to immediately go and make it right with him. When we realize we've sinned against God, we've offended God, we've hurt our fellowship with God, then we need to immediately get down on our knees and we need to make it right with God. It's not his duty to make it right with us. He's already made it, so we can make it right. It's our duty to make it right with him. It's not our duty to get right with our neighbor or someone we've offended to get right with us. It's our duty to get right with them. Same way with our relationship with God. To follow the instruction that Jesus gave. Sin breaks our fellowship with God. Look at Isaiah 59 and verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Our sin separates us from God. The greater and more sin that we harbor, the more hesitant to make it right, and the longer it takes to make it right with God, it hinders our fellowship and robs us of blessings. Can we reach God's throne in prayer? Look at Psalm 66 and verse number 18. 66 Psalm and verse number 18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." He will not answer our prayer. We have no communication with him. Our sin is separated between us and our God. And therefore, he's not going to hear. He's not going to answer our prayer. If we hide his word in our heart, we'll not sin against him. And so the correction for that situation is, again, the Word of God. Can you get interested in Bible study? Better make it right with God. Can you witness to the lost around you? Better make it right with God before somebody dies lost and winds up in hell. Listen, no man lives or dies unto himself, God says. Everything that we do has an effect on someone else. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing has an effect on someone else. And so therefore, we need to always strive to do that which is right. Because listen, we're not only hindering them, but we're placing ourselves at odds with God. Because we're not setting the example that he set for us. And brother, he set the example of righteousness because he completely fulfilled the law. He completed the law. He took it away by not breaking one bit of the law, but keeping it to its uttermost, that we would not have to strive to keep the law under the threat that they were under there in the Old Testament when Israel was under the law. And so what we need to do is we need to do what's right in the sight of God. We need to be concerned at all times that our action, when we're out in public, we're doing business, or whatever we do, we need to be sure that that is right with God, the way that Jesus would do it. Would Jesus conduct himself this way? Would Jesus react to these individuals this way? Now, brother, listen, when I get on this, I start getting convicted because we've got a bunch of nuts in this area that it's not safe to be on the highway with. But still yet, should I get mad, chew them out, No, I should feel sorry for them because where they're headed. Because they're full of self and they're never going to be full of Jesus continuing in that state. We're talking about right with God. Listen, again, that takes us to the turning of the other cheek. That takes us taking wrongdoing instead of standing and retaliating when people come and offend us. You know, Jesus, he didn't respond and didn't reply to any of their accusations. He didn't even stand up for himself and defend his rights. He just simply took it. We need to have that same spirit and that same attitude. Not have this manly attitude, this gung-ho attitude, that it just isn't right for people to do this or do that or do something else. Brother, it's not right for us to set a poor example. We need to follow the one that Jesus set, and we need to take the wrong in ourselves. We need to react and respond to people in a gentle, loving manner. Now, I know that sounds strange for me because you guys know me, you know what? But as I said, I get convicted when I get to thinking about these things. This old pride of life, we all have it. We need to shut it down. We need to keep it under control totally. And that the purpose and the point is that we are right with Jesus, and being right with Jesus when we work with people and witness to the people, then, brother, we'll have an effect. Can you reach God's throne? Can't if you hide iniquity in your heart. Can you really enjoy your salvation? Look at Psalms 51. Psalms 51. And verse number 12. Psalms 51 and 12. Says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Can you really enjoy your salvation? Do you have that joy, that fullness? Do you have that closeness to the Lord? Do you have that wonderful peace and freedom that you had when the Lord saved you? I'd venture to say not as much. And I'd venture to say not at all much of the time. Why is it? Because we're not doing what we need to be doing, and that is making things right with God. Even the little things. Did you know little things lead to big things? And a little sin you need to get taken care of immediately, just as much as you do a big sin. Because even a little sin will hinder and will hurt. And listen, God don't look at sin as big and little, but we do, unfortunately. Can we get interested in Bible study? Better make it right with God. Can we witness to the lost? We better make it right with God, or somebody's going to die and go to hell. Listen, to get right, it takes repentance. And it's the only way to make it right. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. Romans 2nd chapter and verse 4. The Bible says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. We need to realize and understand how good God was for saving our soul and taking away that condemnation, that fear and that dread of death, and that peace that he gave us when we had no peace before. We need to be mindful of that and how good God was to do that to us in the condition that we were in. When we were at odds with him, we were his enemy. And bless your heart, if we look and see that goodness that God was toward us, then it'll cause us to be sorry that we sinned. And a godly sorrow worketh repentance. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 10. 2 Corinthians 7. And verse 10, the Bible says, for godly sorrow, now that's sorrow to God. It's not sorry for myself. It's not sorry because I got caught. It's not sorry because I've hurt my image. What will other people think? It's not sorry for selfish reasons or for worldly reasons, but it's sorry toward God that we sinned against him. And by the way, we have a God that is great in feeling, because it makes his mercy toward us great. And bless your heart, his feelings get hurt continually when we carry the burden of sin with us. Listen, a godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death. Listen, being sorry with a worldly sorrow just leads to destruction. More grief and more sorrow. But listen, a godly sorrow relieves us of that. It eases, it clears the conscience. It restores our relationship with the Lord and brings us that joy of salvation that he desires for all. Repentance is for the saved as much as it is for the lost. And Jesus said to the lost, except you repent, you shall all wind up in hell. You shall all likewise perish, he said. Listen. It was just as serious with God's people. Except you repent, you're going to lose your relation, your fellowship with the Lord. You're going to lose your reward. You're going to lose your benefits of those rewards and that relationship with him in eternity. Did you know that those living in that holy city, New Jerusalem, are going to have a closer relationship and a sweeter relationship with him than those that walk in the light of the city, the nations of the saved? There is a difference, brother, and the Bible clearly brings it out. We need to be concerned about it. We need to make things right with God. The church is commanded to repent. In Revelation chapter 2, Revelation the second chapter, and verse number 5, the church at Ephesus, he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Listen, he commands a whole church to repent. He commands a whole church to be sorry to God. He commands a whole church to make it right with him. And bless your heart, even as a church sometimes, we make mistakes, and then we need to be willing to immediately make those things right. David had to repent before his joy was returned. The 51st Psalm, once again. Psalms 51. Verse number 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David had to repent before his joy would return. Did you know that Samson had to repent before his strength returned? Now, we're not going to make Samson a hero, but he did accomplish what God sent him to do in spite of his sinfulness and sinful life. But he couldn't do it until he repented. He lost his strength and his ability to carry out what God had sent him to do. And then when he repented, his strength was restored. Peter had to repent before he could be of service to the Lord. Matter of fact, Peter, after he denied him and was confronted with the cock crowing, Peter wept bitter tears and truly made his heart right with God. Peter, after that, became converted. What do you mean? He began to serve the Lord because of what the Lord had done for him. He began to strive to do things the right way instead of the way that Peter thought was right. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about this Peter who lopped off the ear of the servant of the high priest. He wasn't following the Lord because the Lord prepared the ear. But after Peter repented, then he quit doing that. And he began to do and serve the Lord as he would have him to. But he first had to repent, and he first had to get right. He first had to have a godly sorrow and weep bitter tears. Repentance is a double turning. Look at Isaiah 50. Isaiah 55, verse 7 says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord." Now, when we read this, this is repentance. You have to forsake yourself. You can't have self as number one. You can't be driven, and you can't act and react from a selfish standpoint, from an egotistic standpoint. You have to act and react from the standpoint of Jesus Christ and what His Word has set forth. We have to act out of humility. We have to act and we have to think, what does the Bible teach concerning what I'm about to do? And you must follow those teachings, because if you don't follow the teachings of the Bible, you're not following God. If you don't follow the teachings of the Bible, you're not doing what God would have you to. If you're not following the teachings of the Bible, you can't be right with God. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You got to turn from self. And then turn and surrender and yield to God. That is repentance. And no matter what the conditions or circumstances are or that you're in, it still is the same. The child of God first must be sorry. Then he must ask God to forgive him. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. God has made provisions for us to make things right with him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now remember, we're so great, we need to do this, do that. Listen, by the grace of God and with his help, we need to do what he's telling us to do here. He made a way for us as his children to be able to take care of sin in our life. If it weren't so, then we could sin and lose our salvation, or we could sin and wind up in hell like religion teaches today. But he made a way for us to take care of that sin, and here's the way. But you know what? In order to confess to him our sin, we have to confess to ourselves that we're guilty of sin. Now, not me. Oh, so-and-so. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have done that. Not to me. You're never going to get right with God under those circumstances. Your life is never going to be in order under those circumstances. Self has to get out of the way. And Jesus was the epitome of it. He was constantly saying, it's not my will, but God's be done. He was given over to doing the will of the Father. He surrendered his will. And brother, we need to surrender ours if we're truly going to be right with God. If we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confess and seek his forgiveness. And then when we receive it and that burden is lifted, then we need to accept and have confidence in the fact that he has forgiven us. Sometimes people will confess and make things right with God, and that old flesh will work up and they won't forgive themselves. Well, that's all well and good, but in that condition, there's not much you can do for God and for being righteous in his eyes. And Christ made it right for the unsaved. Romans 6:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All are sinners and all need salvation. Look with me to Isaiah 53 and verse number 11. Isaiah 53 and verse 11. "He shall see the travail of his soul," and he did, "and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities," and he did. He made it a way for lost sinners to be right with him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He made it to where we can be right with him. The sinner must accept the free gift. Romans 6 and 23. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 10, 9 and 10. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. He's made provisions for you to be saved eternally forevermore. He made those provisions by shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary. He made those provisions for suffering and dying and being buried and then being raised again. Died because of your sin, raised for your justification. And he's made a way for us to be righteous in the sight of God and in the sight of man. He made a way. He didn't have to, but he did it because he loves each and every one of us personally, individually. And by the way, he did it for you. He did it personally for me. He did it personally for every individual. We want to think of it collectively. He died for all. Yes, he died for all individually. Well, how do we look at that? He created each one of us individually. There's no two yous, not even with identical twins. Why did he do that? Because he wants to have a personal relationship with each and every human being that he's ever created. And by the way, he's created every one of them in their mother's womb. And by the way, when he created them male and female. And there should be no confusion about that. None whatever. Listen. He made it for we can truly be right. He made it so that our conscience can be cleared. He made it so that we would not only have life, but have it more abundantly, he said. That's why he came. And that abundant life with it, he promised to give us joy when we would be obedient to his word. He did his part fully. Now, it's up to you, it's up to me, as to what we do with it. We're used to wanting the benefits without us doing anything. That don't work with him. We have to be willing to accept his way when we are. He's promised to save. He's promised to grant us that righteousness. Let's stand. What shall we sing? If you're here tonight, come to Jesus. Whatever the need is, the Spirit of God convicts your heart. Come to him. Make it right. And come and do it genuinely from the heart.